This is the Love Foco Show.
It's a challenge for everybody, right? The parents that are trying to secure affordable and safe childcare, and so they can go back to work, so they can go back to school. And I'm the best example of that, right? Yeah. I had childcare for Sophia. And then we have the teachers. We do everything to support the teachers. We're always recognizing them and giving them so much love that they need.
Welcome to the Love Foco Show. Our podcast highlights the incredible people who make Fort Collins the place we're proud to call home. Each week, your host, Jeff Faust, sits down with local leaders, community champions, and change makers to share their stories, what they love about our city, and how they're helping it thrive. So whether you're out on the trail, at a brewery, or walking through Old Town, thanks for tuning in.
Hey everyone, Jeff Faust here, your host for the Love Foco Show. I am so excited to share this conversation with you today. Gloria, who leads La Familia, a community center here in Fort Collins, she is doing an incredible job caring for our neighbors, caring for our city, and I can't wait for her to just be able to share part of her story with you, how she landed in Fort Collins, her background, her history, how it all pointed her to this moment leading La Familia, or the Family Center here in Fort Collins. And I think that, like me, you'll become a fan of the work they are doing, and a fan of her leadership and just the way that they are helping lives thrive in and around our community. So excited to share this conversation with you today. And so with that, let's go ahead and jump in.
Well, Gloria, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to be with me. I know you're leading an incredible organization here called La Familia. We're going to get into that and all the ways you're loving our city one life at a time. But I'd love to start our conversation the way I start every conversation. Just tell me a little bit about your origin story. Like, were you born and raised in Fort Collins? Did you move here? What was that journey like? And how did you find yourself in this great community?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. Well, I'm happy to share about where I come from.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Mexico. In all my life, I was living and working in Mexico City.
Oh, amazing.
I love big cities. I'm really...
Well, this is quite a bit smaller than than Mexico City. Fort Collins is like a neighborhood in Mexico City. Mexico City, I've been twice. It's amazing. I mean, it's bigger than New York City. It's huge.
Exactly. And I love it. You know, I was really lucky to be there and, you know, making amazing connections and friends and everything. But life changed for me because when I was 17, that's when I met my husband.
Okay.
My husband is French. His name is Patrick. And I think that maybe he was a troublemaker when he was 19 years old, because my father-in-law sent him to Mexico to learn Spanish and learn the culture.
Yeah.
And I think he did a good job, right? Because I'm here today.
That's amazing.
So he was 19, I was 17. We got to meet each other. And then life happened years later. And that's when I moved back into 2005 is when I moved to the U.S. to start a family. And we got married. And that's where my journey begins in the U.S.
Okay. So I want to ask about that and like where you landed in the U.S. first. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing you correctly. So Padraig is a Frenchman.
Yes, he's French.
His family was living in France and they were like, hey, you got to go and learn the Spanish language. The best way to do that is to live in a Spanish speaking country. So instead of going to Spain, they sent him to Mexico.
Exactly.
And you guys met as teenagers.
We were teenagers.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I had curly hair and he had a mullet. So I have pictures like that.
Well, mullets are coming back in.
Back in 1987.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
intense. Tell Padraig he can get the mullet to come back. Because if you go to CSU, mullets are everywhere.
Exactly.
They're everywhere.
Right now?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I have to tell him that.
Yes.
But actually, because my father-in-law got married with my mother, in law that she's from California, they wanted to settle in the U.S.
Yep.
So my husband basically moved from France when he was 13 years old or something like that. And then he grew up in Harvard, Massachusetts.
Okay.
So he came from Harvard, Massachusetts to do that student exchange program, yeah. Right, in Mexico City. And that's how we met, through another friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, long story short, we moved to the U.S. and I was in California doing all my paperwork for immigration, mm-hmm. be able to work.
That's a process, isn't it?
It is a very complex.
I don't think people understand process. How challenging that process
it is. It's very challenging. And we're talking about 20 years ago when I did it. I'm sure that it has changed today.
Yeah.
It's probably different and maybe more expensive.
Yeah.
So anyways, I did my paperwork. We got married and we have two daughters. We have Yvonne. She's 27. Mm-hmm. She's living in Denver right now. She's a hairstylist and a business owner. And she's going back to school to get a business degree.
Yeah.
You know, so she's very creative. Like, she's more like an artist.
Yeah.
And we also have Sophia. Sophia's 15 years old. She's okay. A freshman at Four Points High School.
Oh, awesome.
And she's an athlete. Anything that involves movement and sports, she's...
Now, did she get that from you or did she get that from Padraig?
No, she got it from my husband. Okay. They're both very competitive.
Yes.
Let me put it that way. I'm not competitive. I'm social.
Yeah.
I'm more into the cool stuff. You know, I can sit down and have a glass of wine while everybody's skiing.
I love it. That's not a bad place to find yourself.
I started learning to ski recently.
Yeah.
So, yes. So I'm trying to go a little bit into being more aggressive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More sports.
So you're learning some things that are rich in Colorado for sure.
Exactly.
Tell me a little bit about Mexico City, though, because I just find myself wondering, like, I always like to ask this question because I love meeting people from different cultures and different backgrounds. What's something you really miss from Mexico City that you can just find your heart, you know, desiring or reminiscing about?
I think the first thing that I would say is the food.
The food.
Yes. The authentic tacos and Mexican food, and there are amazing restaurants.
Yeah.
And the culture as well. There are so many things that people can do there. Theater, shows, concerts.
Yeah. I don't think people always realize just how big it is. I mean, are we talking 20 million people or something like that?
22 million people. Live in Mexico City right now, and it's so amazing.
Incredible.
I love it. I love going back and I don't care. Like, I drive anywhere.
Yeah. Like, do you get a chance to go back?
Yes. My dad still lives there.
Oh,
he's
cool.
97.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I take care of him from the distance.
Yeah. Well, we were talking before we, you know, pushed record that my college roommate was from Puebla.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just an hour and a half or 2 hour drive, maybe, at least the way I remember it.
Exactly.
Outside of Mexico City, and got a chance to visit him, learned the real story of Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
From him, because that, you know, Puebla is like, this is where this story really originates in a different, happened. Yeah, yeah. It's maybe not the same way we celebrate it here in the United States, but...
The United States is the only country that celebrates Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, boy. That, okay. Yeah, that's...
There's nothing wrong about it.
Well, we love our, yeah, we love celebrating it. But yeah, I learned a lot about the real story. I learned a lot about the real story there. But yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyways, I think I love Fort Collins. And the first time I moved in here, I thought it was a very amazing city.
Yeah. When did you first, you went to California how did you find Colorado and Fort Collins?
So what happened is that my father-in-law, he's French, he was working for HP.
Uh-huh.
So they were living in Loveland, Colorado before they divorced. So my husband just fell in love with Fort Collins.
Yeah.
He started, you know, looking into a house and he was buying a house. So when I moved to California and then I finished my paperwork, we decided that we were not going to buy a house in California because it was so unaffordable. It was really very expensive.
Very expensive.
And I said, well, you already have a house in Fort Collins. Why don't we move into that house and we settle in Fort Collins?
Yeah.
And be next to your dad. So that's what we did. We drove from California and then we've been in the same house.
That's so neat to hear. I've heard so many stories from people, some of these major employers, mm-hmm. HP is definitely one of them, that you know, a few decades ago, they were hiring so many folks that really it really began to shape our community in a way. And people from all kinds of different cultures were moving here for those jobs. Really, I think really blessed our city in a big way.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we ended up moving into that house that we still have until today. And I love it. And the one thing that I can highlight about Fort Collins is that it felt very safe. I felt that it was a good place to raise our children and just settle.
Yeah.
And the next challenge that came for me was finding employment.
Yes.
I need to find a job. Right?
Yeah.
And after doing a couple of temp jobs that were terrible, I came across an opportunity at the United Way of Lamar County.
Yeah.
And I can say that before that, I really wanted to volunteer and get to know the community much better. So my first approach to nonprofit was through the Salvation Army. I was a volunteer and I was registering children for their Christmas program, their Giving Tree program. And I noticed right there, like, we have a huge community that is needing support and resources. How can I use my skills, you know, to help them navigate that? And it was funny, I came across a position that I thought I was a really good match with my skills and knowledge at United Way as a resource coordinator. So I went to apply for the job, me not knowing how to look for a job in the U.S. ever, right?
Yeah.
I printed my resumes. I had papers with me. Mm-hmm. My resume was in paper. And I walked into the office of United Way. They used to be located on Pine Street.
Okay.
If you remember.
Yeah.
Maybe you were not here. And there was this nice gentleman at the front desk. And I said, hey, my name is Dorian. I noticed that you posted that position for resource coordinator. I'm interested. He said, well, that has already been filled. And I'm like, I have my resume.
Yeah.
Would you mind just circulating this in your building in case something happens?
Yeah.
I didn't know how to look for a job. He's like, okay, I can do that. And then next week they called me because they actually had a part-time position that was available in the 211, the information referral line.
Yeah.
And I went to the interview and then I got that job. That
was my first great
job.
Yeah.
And then after a month, I moved into a full-time job. And then what happened after a couple of months?
Within a month, you went part-time to full-time in a month.
Yeah. Because
they must have loved you.
Somebody left.
Yeah. Well, they're like, we love Gloria and she's doing a great job. Let's promote her.
I need the full-time job. I need the money. Right?
Yeah.
But it was so funny because the resource coordinator back then, he quit. And that position became available.
Yeah.
And I said, I want that position. That's why I came.
That's why I came, yeah.
And I got it. And I kept it for over like 10 years.
Wow.
I stayed.
That's awesome.
I haven't really had that many jobs in my life because I do long term, you know.
Yeah.
10-year cycles or something.
Yep.
So it was really amazing. To me, United Way was kind of like the nonprofit university.
Yeah.
And I loved it. You know, many amazing.
The nonprofit university. That's a really good way to say it.
And I'm so grateful for them. The team was amazing and I learned a lot. I was the information and technology, community information and technology manager.
Yeah.
That was my title back then. And I was managing the phone system and the resource database.
Yep.
We had an amazing statewide collaborative to make sure that we were entering the data in the same way.
Yeah.
I'm really passionate about data.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. Sadly, what happened is because of funding, the 211 had to be outsourced to Mile High, United Way. Then.
Okay.
So that was really sad, you know, to lose that resource.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I said, well, you know, I still need a job. I got an offer at a corporate company in Loveland.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started working there for a few years, trying to decide what I was going to do. I must have had my midlife crisis because I went back to school. I said, you know, I have the knowledge. I know what it means to be in the nonprofit world, but I don't have the diploma of a local university.
Yeah.
Even though my background is in communication studies in Mexico, I needed something, you know, to be able to apply for other jobs. So I enrolled at CSU Global.
Yeah.
And I finished a degree in human services.
Oh.
So that was amazing because
that is great.
I felt that I knew everything, but I was just needing the theory on the paper.
Yeah.
I was missing the nonprofit work. I was missing the connections, I was missing the resources. And I said, I think that I want to go back to the nonprofit and work with families. I wanted to work, do case management so bad. And I remember that, you know, there's WhatsApp groups that the community creates. And I remember reading at the position of our program director at La Familia.
Yeah.
It was already Sunday night. I was coming back from Woodland Park or something. And then something like a voice talked to me on my brain and said, you need to apply for that job. Hmm. It was already past the deadline, but they called me anyways.
And I love it. That is awesome. Gloria, I have, listening to that, I have so many questions, comments and questions, right? I mean, one, I love that part of your story when you move here. You're like, well, I got to learn about the community, so I'm going to start volunteering. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like if our listeners could just hear that, like if you want to learn the city, you want to learn about the city, you want to get, just go and get plugged in across the board. You will learn. And what happened for you is, I mean, you had the exposure to HP, which is kind of like, you know, middle to upper class area of Fort Collins, a well-paying job. This is the air. But what you did, what you learned is there are pockets where there are folks with not those kinds of same resources. Yeah. And our city's trying to serve. There's people who are trying to serve our neighbor and our community. And I just love that you got plugged in right away. So kudos to you on that. But I love just hearing your journey through the United Way, part-time to full-time in a month is incredible. I think there's something to that. Yeah, but they must have liked you. I mean, I really. But even just the agency that you had within your own mind, within your own heart. And of course, there were probably a lot of decisions that came back behind it because you had Iman and Sophia, you're raising daughters and you have a family. But to go back to school and say, I'm just going to get this degree. I'm going to go for it.
Yes.
I think that's incredible. And, you know, particularly in this time and season, kind of in this cultural moment where we're talking about immigration a lot, and we're talking about folks of different ethnicities and races and cultures living in a community together. I think sometimes what people miss is the tenacity and the forward thinking heartbeat that so many of our neighbors from different countries have deep within them that just keep moving you forward. I just want to celebrate that. I think I hear that in your story. And I think there's probably a lot of stories like yours of people who are, no, I'll start a business. I do appreciate that it's a safe community, but I want to give back to this community. I want to grow my family here. And I think it's worth celebrating.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for those words.
Yeah. Well, I find myself kind of curious though. So you were in United Way and then you went to the corporate world. You had mentioned it. You wanted to get back in that nonprofit.
I wanted.
What was it? I mean, even thinking back to your childhood or your early adult life, where do you think that heartbeat came from to be involved with families and be involved with children in that nonprofit space?
I don't know. I mean, if I think of somebody that maybe was influential to that, it could have been my mother. She was always helping people.
Yeah.
Or my sister, Olivia.
Tell me about that. Like, what kinds of things did you see? How was that?
As far as I remember, my mom was always helping somebody. My mom stayed home mainly. Mm-hmm. She passed away 5 years ago.
Oh.
And well, my dad's still there. My dad was always working.
Yeah.
He's a mechanical engineer.
Okay.
And, you know, both different personalities, but
yeah,
very generous.
Yeah.
They were always helping.
Yeah.
And then I was really close with my sister, Olivia. She passed away 2 years ago.
Oh, man.
But
sorry
I was
to hear
really
that.
Close, and I remember her always helping.
Yeah.
Helping my brothers, helping everybody.
Is she an older sister? Younger sister?
Older. I'm the youngest.
Okay.
Of five.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had some great examples to look up to. And
so those two were very influential in my life. I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, man, that is.
But also, I wanted to use my skills. You know, I wanted to use everything that I knew and just get involved and be more curious. And that's something that I would like to, as you said before, I really want to see the new generations or the actual generations just be curious and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
If you are passionate for a nonprofit or something that they're doing, just get close to them. I know that there's social media, but talking to people is so important.
Nothing beats
and
it.
Making those relationships last.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't like the mission of a nonprofit, go to another nonprofit.
Yeah.
and get involved. Like
there's a lot of nonprofits you can get plugged into. And I like what you said about United Way. I think our young listeners need to hear this, that your job was like nonprofit university.
Oh, yeah.
You went to school. I mean, you probably learned, and you know this now because you're leading a nonprofit, and I am too. Like, when you're in the nonprofit world, you might have a job description, but you're doing all kinds of different things.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting exposed to all kinds of, you know, and so I think that's a really good word is, no, there's, you can learn a lot. You can go to school.
Oh, totally. The school of life.
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah. Yeah, so I started working at La Familia in August of 2019.
Okay.
And you probably remember that the pandemic was declared officially a pandemic in that December of 2019.
Yeah.
I was already working here.
Yeah.
It was so funny because I'm like, well, I'm going to work for La Familia and I'm not going to have to deal with disasters anymore, like United Way. Mm-hmm. I've seen fires, floods, tornadoes, everything. And I'm like, I'm going to be working with families. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then the pandemic comes. I'm like, that was not in my bucket list.
A disaster for everyone.
And we need to address that. Those were very stressful times for everybody.
Yeah.
Back then, my mother had been diagnosed with cancer, and I was trying to finish my university. I had a crazy third grader trying to do homeschool.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're safe. Mom, I'm not learning much. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We're safe.
Yeah.
Just
yeah. I mean, I don't know how you did. We did at my house. We had a lot of PE classes. We're going outside. We're going for a run. Like I, you know,
exactly.
I just couldn't handle it. So I had a lot of gym class at our house.
And the funny thing is that after a year being the program director, that's when the board started looking for an ED.
Yeah.
An executive director.
Yeah.
Because Joey Sullivan, that was the former ED of La Familia, got the CEO's position at United Way.
Okay.
So it's funny, right?
It's
in the same circle, but, and then I was chosen to be the director.
Wow.
And I was learning a new role. I had never worked with boards. That's something that I'm...
It is a different thing.
If you have any listeners that would like to learn more about the experience of managing a board, I'm happy to be a peer to them.
Yeah.
Because that's something that I had never done.
Yep.
I never had the opportunity. I went straight into the role, leading in the most difficult time, and my personal life and the pandemic and everything was just like very, very like challenging.
Chaos.
I need to graduate. I need to finish school and graduate. And it happened. And it was like that.
Wow. That is a tough time to become an executive director. And like you said, again, this nonprofit space, people don't always realize it because you're fundraising, you're leading different staff, but you also have to lead a board.
Exactly.
And you know, the nature of boards is you want people on your board who are bright, intelligent, full of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Those folks have opinions.
They do.
You know, and you need them to.
Exactly.
But you also have to lead that board. Exactly. And so it's a challenging thing to do.
Right now, I really want to brag about our board. We have 12 members.
Yeah.
This is the most we have had in years. They are all amazing. They're involved. They're talented, diverse. And we have a wait list.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is a sign. That is a sign of a good organization when you have people who are wanting to serve on that board. And yeah, that's really, really good to hear.
Yeah.
Again, just want to reflect back to you though, Gloria, that you have just continued to serve and lead in a way that gets you promoted. Mm-hmm. So not just United Way part-time to full-time, not just these, but program director to executive director.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a real promotion. I mean, that again, what do you think? I mean, I'm just curious, how would you define some of the qualities and characteristics that kept getting you promoted? Because there's more than just showing up on time. I mean, there's something that people have been seeing in you time and time again. It's hard to talk about yourself maybe in this way, but how did you just keep, because I want to learn from that. I think others want to learn from that.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of really listening to the people that are living the issue, right? And I can talk a little bit more about what we do at La Familia, if that's okay.
Yeah.
My personality, I'm open to learning. I think that knowledge is something that is just present in me, I need to learn. Mm. I need to learn, and I need to really have bring that critical thinking into everything I do, and also be approachable. I can talk to the teachers. I can talk to the community. It's a blessing that I'm bilingual, right? But Spanish is my native language, and I can communicate well. But I think just being open to embracing diversity, as you mentioned before, and really into the decision-making process, make sure that we have all those voices.
Yeah.
And the work that we do here is key to that.
Yep. Yeah. So I hear in that, just to correct me if I'm wrong, but I hear, I heard you talk a little bit about critical thinking, mm-hmm. By way of listening and being a learner.
Yes.
But also like I hear like a thread of collaboration, like let's grab some of this and grab some of this and get this in the same room and come up with the best idea together.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, we need to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Because we're all in this together.
Yep.
And I think that my commitment is to bridge that gap and narrow the gap between the systems and the community, residents. I feel that there needs to be dialogue and more cohesion into like the systems, making changes from within.
Yep.
They cannot expect La Familia to be everything for everybody.
Right.
We cannot be the WIC office. We cannot be the food stamp office. We cannot like be everything, because then we just go crazy and we don't have enough funding, right?
Well, a nonprofit burnout is a real thing, you know?
Nonprofit burnout is happening.
Yeah.
And I am so passionate. I really love what I do here. And I think with leadership is key. If I see that our families, they bring their own leadership, they are leaders of their own communities, we need to embrace that. We need to stop placing labels on people. Oh, here comes the undocumented, here comes the migrants, here comes the LGBTQ people, here comes the whatever. You know, there are so many groups and so much division that we need to stop putting labels and really embrace everybody and utilize that talent.
Yeah.
For the good.
There are
amazing community members.
So many gifts out there.
Exactly. As you said, we just hired a resident. She has a degree in agricultural science, I think in Honduras. But she's going to work in our garden.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's just the best way to really recognize and celebrate that diversity.
Yeah.
And the talent that people have.
I love that. I love that so much. So much of what you're talking about, Gloria, resonates with me. I'm grateful to get to know you a little bit more. I do want to talk specifically about La Familia. I mean, just hearing your story is incredible.
Yeah.
And the way that you're giving back to our city. But let's talk, for everybody listening, kind of specifically what La Familia is all about, what you guys are doing in our community. And then maybe we'll wrap our conversation with how people could support you or get involved and things like that. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about La Familia. If someone's never heard of La Familia, tell us, you know, who you guys are, what you guys are about.
Exactly. So the family-centered La Familia has served the community for 30 years now. It was created with the idea of providing affordable and quality childcare or early care and education. I'm going to refer to as childcare because it's easier for the audience to understand that. So it was created 30 years ago. It was founded 30 years ago, and it has remained true to its mission of making sure that we can support families in Northern Colorado with the services that they need. So we base our work on three pillars of service.
Okay.
The first one is ELEDITO, the Early Care and Education Program. It's a level 5, Colorado Shines rating, level 5.
Yeah.
It's the highest.
I was going to say, what's that, 5 out of 5 or
Five out of 5.
Okay.
It's Colorado Shines level 5 rating. It's like the highest standards of quality.
Yeah.
A licensed childcare can in Colorado.
Yep.
So kudos to Joe, our education director.
Yeah.
Sorry. Kudos to him and his team for doing that. So we have that service, which is the childcare. We have 55 children from 6 weeks old all the way to 5.
Wow.
They graduate from here to go to kindergarten, whatever they need, PSD or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's the first graduation happens here, and it's the cutest.
I bet that is amazing to
and
celebrate.
It's very emotional for the
parents. I bet,
And I must say that my daughter, Sophia, came to La Familia.
Really?
So La Familia has been in my heart for a long time.
Yeah.
When I was a mother and I wanted to work and they had a space for Sophia, you know, when she was born, I was so grateful.
Yeah.
For that. So I know as a parent how it feels when you get that support and you can continue with your professional career or your studies. But now that I'm here, I can see all the systemic issues that the childcare sector is facing.
It is a tough space to be in.
As well.
I would love to talk about it. I do have one quick question. I think it'd be good just for me to ask for everyone listening too. It's called the Family Center or La Familia. You use those, I mean, it's just English and Spanish. You use them synonymously with one another or?
Our legal name is the Family Center / La Familia.
Okay.
That's our legal name.
Yep.
But just like a nickname, everybody refers to also La Familia.
I've always known you as La Familia. La Familia. Yeah, yeah.
And that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the early education, is it in English or is it in Spanish? Or do you use La Familia as a way to kind of be forward-facing in the community, especially our Spanish-speaking neighbors? Like, hey, this is a friendly environment. Like, tell me a little bit about that.
We don't have a curriculum that is bilingual.
Okay.
But we do have teachers that speak Spanish and are bilingual.
Yep.
And we have teachers that speak English.
Yeah.
So I feel that integrating that diversity and language and celebrating other cultures as well, because we have people that came from the Middle East or are Native Americans. You know, we have diversity.
Whoa, you were giving me a tour before this interview and we walked past the penguin classroom and the otter classroom, which were over the top with cuteness.
Exactly.
But you saw kids from all kinds of different backgrounds in that class. I think that's wonderful. It's wonderful.
One thing to maybe keep in mind, the other programs that we have, one being the bilingual case management, and the other program that we have is the Mi Voz, the Leadership Development Program.
Yeah.
I can say that maybe 90% of the families that we're serving are Spanish speaking or they identify as Hispanic.
Okay. Now, Mi Voz, that's something I've heard because I did an interview with current mayor Emily, and she talked about Mi Voz and how important she felt like it was going to be for our community. Can you share from your vantage point on how Mi Voz is impacting young leaders, adult leaders, and how that might be, you know, helping our community?
Absolutely, yeah. So when we think of Mi Voz, I think that there has to be a little bit more of context. We have 42 mobile home parks in just across Larimer County.
Wow. Let's say that again.
42 mobile home communities across Larimer County.
I don't think everybody realizes that about Larimer County.
We're talking about near 5,000 affordable housing units.
Yeah.
Well, affordable.
Yeah.
We can talk about this.
Yeah, that was in air quotes for everyone who can't see it. But yeah, I mean, that is.
A mobile home is still considered one of the most affordable types of housing in the U.S.
Okay.
So our team of the Mi Voz team works with about 10 of those communities, mainly in Fort Collins, in Southern Loveland. But it has created a model that is a resident-led initiative on how they can acquire the technical skills or the knowledge on how to better advocate.
Yep.
Within their own communities,
yeah.
Because they all have different issues.
Yes. And for all of our non-Spanish speaking friends, Mi Voz, it just means my voice.
My voice.
So you are empowering people to lift their voice, to share their voice, to advocate for themselves and their community.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's when you see maybe a city council meeting and then you see somebody providing public comment, you see a lot of the residents of the mobile home communities.
Yeah.
It has evolved through the years. When I started, Mi Voz was already a program here, and the leaders were learning many skills and getting involved, and now they are able to organize their own events. They can go speak with whomever they need to talk to and know how to address different issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's incredible.
That is incredible.
Because there really is, there's a cultural gap sometimes to know, like, well, this is how I will engage at this government meeting or this business meeting, or this is how I can show up in this space to be effective for my community.
Yeah.
And those unwritten rules sometimes aren't always.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And exactly what we were discussing before, how do we make sure that the voices are represented?
Yeah.
having that connection to the many programs that the city offers.
Yeah.
And then being able to understand what's needed.
Yeah.
For families to really be able to access what they're offering.
Yeah. Can I ask a sensitive question around it? Because I've tried to learn a lot about our city, mm-hmm. which means not only what's happening now, but also the history of our city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's always amazing things about a city's past, but there are also some shadow sides, some sides that maybe weren't as lovely about our past. And mm-hmm. I know in our past that there were some, you know, maybe we'll call racial tensions or just, you know, oppression and just different things, that, particularly around the Latino community and the white community, talking decades back, and just even some things around neighborhoods and housing. And okay. How do you feel like Mi Voz is helping bridge some of that gap?
Yes.
What are maybe some success stories, but where is some work that still needs to be done?
Well, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done, but I feel that the level of organization that Mi Voz has achieved among different mobile home communities is just amazing.
Yeah.
Just to give you an example, four of the residents, they finally formed the Northern Colorado Mobile Home Collective.
Yeah.
Gain that representation that is needed. So it's kind of like detaching a little bit from Mi Voz itself, which is more like a leadership development program, into becoming their own.
That's the goal, right? Yeah, that would be the goal of Mi Voz.
A big achievement.
That is.
Because they're going to be the ones that are going to be representing the mobile homes in Lamar County or different cities. And they can grow. There's so much potential. You know, they can still grow and integrate more leaders and more initiatives. So that is something that was just born last year, yeah. Thanks to Mi Voz.
That is Boy, that's a really good sign. You know, we had talked about earlier about how you have people who want to be on your board. That's a good sign for your organization. The fact that there are real leaders who are organizing their own thing, empowered by Mi Voz, but independent of that. I mean, that's a great case study. That's a good sign.
I can totally see that growing in the future and doing amazing things, but being the voice now.
Yeah.
Representing
yeah.
and empowering the new generation.
Yep.
Because they're seeing what their moms are doing. I'm going to city council. And those voices, you know, they're so important.
It is very important. Yeah. Well, you had generations that you could look up to exactly. with your mother, with your older sister. And so, yeah, this is a big deal.
Totally.
It's a big deal. Yeah. Well, let's go back to the kids. You said you're serving 55 kids.
Yes.
Which represents probably a number of families, probably, you yes. know, and that the, you know, the impact of that is going to go beyond 55 mm-hmm. children, of course. Yes. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what else you kind of provide, how you support some of the families of our community and things that you guys are involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, first of all, I also want to add that we are a family resource center. We are part of the Family Resource Center Association. It's a statewide initiative, and we have about 33 centers.
Oh, really?
We're different. It depends. Maybe some of in the rural areas, they provide different services. Some might not have what we have here, because it depends on the community
yeah.
and what they're needing. But we follow the model and how we approach the way we work with families through a strengths-based model, which is an evidence-based intervention.
Yeah.
So we don't tell the families what to do. We welcome them. We establish those relationships. Thanks to our team, they're fully bilingual. They are also part of the community. So that right there is an advantage. We want to support the families with whatever they need. It could be a parenting class. It could be a mental health for safety class. And the car seat safety class as well is key.
Yeah.
Because
you don't always think about that until you have a kid and you realize, oh, there's like real rules here. Like, I don't have to get this thing situated.
Exactly. So we have so many things that we can provide a family with, a connection to resources, a connection to other organizations if we don't have what they need, and just involvement, you know.
Yeah.
We are about to have an open house. Our Growing Together open house is going to happen on May 2nd.
I was going to say, let's get that information out there.
Yeah, so before I forget, anyone willing to really learn more about what we do and the classes that we provide and the support that we provide, that's the best way for people to come and tour the center.
Yep.
The doors will be open. It's going to be a carnival.
So it'll be Saturday, May 2nd. Any need to register for that or just a...
Ideally, we would like people to register because we would like to bring the games.
Yeah. Well, Gloria, share that registration with me. And when this goes live, we'll make sure to put that registration link in the podcast notes.
I can give you all that information. People can go to our website and find it there.
Okay.
familycenterfc.org.
FC.org.
Exactly.
Great.
And we're going to have registration. You don't need to pay a ticket. Everyone's welcome.
Yeah.
We're going to have games and it is a fundraiser. So if somebody wants to donate, they're welcome.
That's great. Hey. Nonprofit world doesn't mean no money.
Exactly.
There's money involved. Tell us a little bit about that. I would love to hear, you're doing incredible work. There's got to be a real budget to this. I mean, childcare early education, excuse me, that's not cheap.
It's not.
Caring for the families beyond the children is not cheap. And so that has a real price tag.
Exactly.
So how can folks jump on board with that? What are your goals and exactly. How can people help you get there?
So, I appreciate you asking that question. Childcare is very expensive. Just running a licensed childcare facility comes with high cost.
Especially if you want to be 5 out of 5.
Exactly. So we need to meet licensing requirements. We need to pay our teachers. I feel that we don't pay our teachers living wages.
Hmm.
We are trying to always increase that number, but it's really so hard to sustain. And the operation itself is very costly. I think that we need to come as a community and really support not only the children, but also the workforce.
Yes.
And about 2 years ago, I started a collaboration with the Front Range Community College to start teaching the early childhood courses in Spanish.
Really?
Because we have a population that wants to go back to school, that language is a barrier. And that's amazing.
That's a great idea.
That first generation of students were like about over 100, and this is a statewide initiative.
Wow. Yeah.
Right now, I don't know, that program might be a little bit at risk because of funding. There's always funding issues, but it's out there. And it's an option to really enhance and bring that workforce
big time
back.
Well, and this is a big challenge that people don't always realize that childcare and early education, it is such a need in our community. Mm-hmm. If we're not caring for the next generation, it's going to affect the working parents. It's going to affect the entire family unit. But if you can't pay the teachers a living wage, people will leave that workforce. They'll have to go get a job somewhere. And so, but that is a big challenge funding wise.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a challenge for everybody, right? The parents that are trying to secure affordable and safe childcare. And so they can go back to work, so they can go back to school. And I'm the best example of that, right?
Yeah.
I had childcare for Sophia. And then we have the teachers. We do everything to support the teachers. We're always recognizing them and giving them so much love that they need.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want them to leave, but it's also a challenge hiring new certified teachers.
Yeah.
Right now we're hiring, by the way.
Okay. That's good to know.
Job.
Yeah.
I want to make that announcement and say that we're hiring for 2 positions.
Okay.
So they can contact us and come and check the place. And we're open to anyone that wants to come and learn more about us.
That's fantastic. when you're working with children, of course, we walked through the hallway. We got a little quiet because they were getting ready to take nap time. But we also walked past a cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're feeding these kids, and you had a cook in a commercial kitchen running things. I mean, I've done some renovations in buildings.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an inexpensive thing to have. But in terms of quality of care,
exactly.
That's probably a really big part of what you offer.
Exactly. It's a big part of that. I'm so grateful for Phil. He's our kitchen manager. So when children come here, not only they receive the education and the care, but they access nutritious meals. We are subject to inspections from the health department, just like a commercial kitchen, as you said. So When you run this operation, there are so many requirements, right? And children can access the food that they need in the morning with a healthy breakfast, a healthy snack, and then lunch. Yeah.
And it just takes a little pressure off of home too.
Yes.
You know, like, okay, exactly. Kids are going to be cared for holistically.
Exactly.
Not just education, not just safety, but also nourishment and care. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Exactly. And also development. You know, the early years are so crucial for a child. Just 2 years ago, thanks to funding that we have been receiving through the Larimer County Behavioral Health Office, we were able to integrate occupational therapy. It's an embedded program in collaboration with CSU. So we're very grateful.
Wow. You guys are serving in so many different ways.
Like, children don't even know that they're getting...
Well, and it's a good thing that you love data. You mentioned earlier that you love data. As an executive director, if you're going to get these grants, if you're going to get this statewide funding, you have to be able to lay out a real case for people you're serving, outcomes that are being reached, lives that are being impacted. And so the fact that you love data has set you up for this well. It's going to set your organization up well in the long term.
I think right now we are at a very good moment. I know that politically and, you know, the economic environment seems to be very...
It's volatile.
It's very unpredictable and uncertain. But I feel that we have positioned ourselves in such a good spot right now. We're solid. We have programs that are still effective. We're adding the supports that families are needing with the OT, with everything that we do. And we are blessed, like really, we're really blessed right now. Last year in December, we were awarded an endowment through the Colorado Health Foundation through their Equity Collective Initiative.
Yeah.
For a moment, I thought we were not going to get it because, you know, when you ask for $1 million, like, am I going to get it?
Yeah.
And then suddenly I get the call and said, you have been selected.
Incredible.
And I was crying. I was like, my emotions, you know, were like, woo.
Well, because you get in a nonprofit because you care.
Because I care.
You care.
And to me, it was like the best legacy that we can leave for these generations of children and for the staff and for the community, because we're part of the community.
Yeah.
And this is for them. It's not for me to say, oh, yeah, we got $1 million.
Yeah.
It's an endowment. And yeah, you cannot touch it for a while. But then once you start getting that revenue, and there are so many steps to make that happen. That's why I'm so grateful with our board. But you know, with the donors, this is thanks us to the donors as well.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to make that grow and keep supporting us, because this is going to...
FC.org. FC.org, they can get on and give.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about making sure that we can continue providing the services that we have and grow with the community. That's what we have, the Growing Together Open House. It used to be called Belong, but I didn't like that name.
Yeah.
We don't need to belong anywhere. Where did you belong? Like, why didn't I belong before?
Yeah.
Right? It feels like exclusive. And growing together is more, it involves everyone.
I really like that.
We're all together.
Yeah.
So this is the second year that we're doing Growing
Together. Oh, that is special. So, and again, that's Saturday, May 2nd. We'll make sure to share that as well.
Yes.
Gloria, the time has flown by. This has been such a good conversation. I do want to give you a moment to share just any last thing that might be on your heart as we get kind of ready to wrap up. But I just want to say, you know, you've got a fan. I am, add me to the list. I know you have a ton of fans. You don't get this many donors and endowments without fans. Add me to the list. Add Love Foco to the list of fans. The work that you guys are doing is really great. And I'm so grateful. I feel like we could have another conversation to learn more about what you're doing. But let me just give it to you to wrap up. If you have any one last thing that you would love to share, I'd love to just give you the floor for one last moment as we wrap up.
Really, I think we had a really nice time, and I would really like to invite the people that are listening to this amazing conversation that I'm having with you, Jeff, to really explore, be really curious. Don't be afraid. Just reach out and connect with people. Just think of all of us as one community, that we're all in this together. And Fort Collins has so much potential. We want to see business thriving. We want to see children thriving and healthy. And if you want to learn more, please feel free to reach out.
Gloria, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Just grateful. Grateful for what you're doing in our community, for your entire team. I know it's a big team that's making this happen.
We love the team.
Yeah, it's great to spend time with you. Yeah. Mucho gusto.
Thank you very much. Gracias.
Thanks for listening to the Love Foco Show. If today's conversation inspired you, share it with a friend who loves Fort Collins as much as you do. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a review. It helps more people discover us. To learn more about Love Foco and find opportunities for loving our city one life at a time, visit lovefoco.com. For now, keep loving Fort Collins well.